Okay, let's have a word of prayer here, and then we'll turn back to the book of Ruth. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for allowing us to come again here to this building, which has been set aside for the things of the Lord. We come now again to this passage of Scripture, where it contains much for us to learn and to help us along our way. So we ask for your help as we consider the things which are recorded here for our learning. We pray in the name of Christ the Savior and with thanksgiving. Amen. So we're going through the book of Ruth and commenting on some of the things that we find here. And we find this to be a very interesting study, following our study in the book of Judges, to see that this account of affairs that we see here are things that happened during the time of the judges, where there were some really rough times. We saw that Naomi and Ruth returned to Ruth's home place after the loss of her husband, Naomi's husband, and her sons. So she returned with one of her daughters-in-law, Ruth, to go back to the home place. This text tells us that she heard in the fields of Moab that God had visited his people. Originally, she and Elimelech and their sons had left because of the famine that was in the land. And God had caused the land to be productive again. And they were in need of, shall we say, support because the men had died. And so Ruth had to make a decision. Naomi had to make a decision as to what to do. She offered to the daughters the opportunity or the advice that they should go back to their homes and seek for themselves a place there. But Ruth said, no, that was not a valid option for her. And she said to Naomi that wherever Naomi went, she would go, that Naomi's God would be her God, that where Naomi died is where she would die. So she expressed total commitment, and we see it and understand that she, in her expressions, made it clear that there had been a change in her from what she was before, and now she had become a believer in the one true God. Sometimes that's called the proselyte to the Jewish God. And so Ruth then was, shall we say, in our terms and way of thinking of things, she was a different person than she had been before. And therefore, different choices, may I use the expression, different choices made sense to her. She had different bases for making the choices that she made. And so her choice then was to be with Naomi and to stay with her. Now, in chapter 2, we see the introduction of the man whose name is prominent from this part. And it says in verse 1, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And then I said how some people consider this in the idea of like different scenes of a play or whatever this is. So we see it, Boaz introduced here. We saw Naomi and Ruth being in a poor condition, and obviously they needed provisions for themselves. So Ruth in verse 2 said, it says, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. I used the expression before that we saw there Ruth's industriousness. She was concerned to provide for her mother-in-law, and there was provision with the laws regarding gleaning that those who needed, widows, homeless, foreigners, those kinds of people who had a need, could go into the field and glean. That meant that the harvesters went through, but they didn't come through a second time to make sure they didn't leave anything behind. In fact, they kept going, and those other people could come and find for themselves, and that way the provisions were made for them. So then Ruth went to the field, and she gleaned. In verse 5, it says that Boaz, after he had returned, he said, "Whose young woman is this?" So upon his return, he noticed a woman in his field gleaning whom he didn't know. He immediately recognized that she was not one of his, his servants. This was a different woman. So he asked about her. So this is the inquiry that he made. So the servant in verse 6 who was in charge said, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, 'Let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves.' And she came and continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house." Now that is a very interesting thing, because what it shows is that, when I use the word industriousness, is that she really did work. She was working. And it says she stayed all day. She just took a little time for rest, which is a normal, natural thing. But she was serious about the business of what she was doing. So then after having gotten that information, then Boaz makes a comment. He speaks directly to Ruth now. And we see that in verse number... Let's see, where am I? Verse 8. Boaz said to Ruth, "You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women." So we mentioned that Boaz is taking a personal interest in Ruth, and this is an act to protect her that he's doing here. And in verse 9, the same, it extends even farther. "Let your eyes be on the field which they reap," talking about his young women, "and go after them. Have not I commanded the young men not to touch you?" And we talked about that as well. This also is a means whereby he is providing protection for Ruth, this new woman who has come to glean in his fields. Yes, ma'am. "In whose field I may find favor." Well, someone who would allow her. Because you notice that she said, they said to Boaz, she came and she asked if she could glean, and they gave her permission to do it. So find favor, she's just thinking that they will give her permission. That's my understanding. To glean. Well, no, I don't think that. I think she asked before. Because you see how it says here that, let me see where they responded to Boaz. It said in verse number 6, "It is the young Moabite who came back with Naomi from the country." In verse 7, "And she said, 'Let me glean and gather.'" So I think that was at the beginning when she got to the field. She said, "May I glean here?" And they gave her permission to do it. And then, so they reported this information to Boaz. Now, it's interesting here because we clearly see that he's taking a personal interest in Ruth. It doesn't tell us why he's taking a personal interest in her, but it does tell us that he is. And we can see that from his actions here. And then to add more to that, in verse number 9, when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So these acts are Boaz extending care to Ruth. And now she responds to his kindness toward her. And we see that in verse number 10. So she fell on her face, it says, and bowed to the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Now, so she's saying then, so we see that we're favored again. But she says, now what you've done is beyond what my expectation was. I am a foreigner here. And I didn't expect this kind of treatment. You treated me very well, and I don't understand how or why you're doing that. So she asked him about that. Now, Boaz's answer is very instructive to us. He answered and said, it has been fully reported to me. So that means that, you know, we talked about him asking about who is this woman and getting information about her. So he saw her. He had some interest as to who this person was, and he gathered information about her. And so he just told her, it has fully been reported to me. So he's saying, basically he's saying, I did an investigation on you, and here's what the information is that was given to me. All that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and mother and the land of your birth and have come to a people whom you did not know. So he said to her, I had a good report. I heard a good report about you. That's his explanation to her as to why he's being so kind to her. So she was a woman whom he noticed, and he learned some things about her. And so then the Lord said, he says to her, listen to the prayer that he prays, and know how the Lord answers that prayer. This is interesting. But here's a prayer that for her. He says, in verse number 12, the Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. He is putting what Ruth's situation is in a spiritual context. And we can understand, I think, this to be that he's recognizing that she's not just a foreign woman who has come in among his reapers, but that this is a woman who is coming in to seek refuge. Seeking a refuge for my soul, I have my way seen. But in those spiritual terms, so what we have in Ruth is a person who has a connection to the living and true God, a woman who is a woman of faith, shall we say. So then in verse 13, then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I'm not like one of your maidservants. So this is all lovely exchange here. Her appreciation for what he's doing, his appreciation for what he has learned about her character and what she is, what kind of a woman she is. So verse number 14, Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. Now, this is very interesting. He's showing more favor towards her. So, what do you think Boaz is thinking about Ruth? I think it's just more than a mere, oh, here's somebody I should be nice to. I think he's beginning to have more interest than just that. But anyway, in verse number 16, he continues and says in verse 16, also, that's no 15 first, and when she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And let grain fall from the bundles, that grain from the bundles fall purposefully for her, leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So he's just adding on more and more. He's saying, I want this woman to be well taken care of, to be protected, to be provided for, and I'm doing what I can do to see that she is handled nicely and provided for very well. These are lovely expressions to see that this man taking care of this woman. And when we think about it, you know, we say, well, what it really is motivating Boaz, or is this, he's just this kind of a man that he would, you know, conduct himself this way. I think we can see that clearly he has some kind of special affinity for Ruth, and he's expressing it in what he does. And so she gleaned. In verse 17, in the field until evening, and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was an ephah of barley. That also lets us know that she was working hard. It says she beat it out. An ephah, if what I read is accurate, is that would be what would be expected from a whole day of work to be able to gather that. So she wasn't slacking in the fields. She was working and working hard. It says she beat that out. And then when she ate, and she was satisfied, but she kept back some of the food that she had left over. She didn't just throw it out, which is what is very common in our time, to see people just eat what they want and throw the rest away. Of course, we know that Ruth has some noble intentions in her heart. And we know that her mother-in-law was back home, and she was going to go back to her. And it's so lovely how she went back and shared what she had left with Naomi. In verse 19, it says, her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. Now, I says, Laura, I think this is related to what you were asking as well here. So where the mother says, well, mother-in-law says, you know, blessed is the one who took notice of you or whatever, the one who gave you permission to glean in their field, I think is fits here. So she said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. So what does that name mean to Ruth when she first learned it? Yeah. It may not have really meant anything to her. It may not have, because he was her father-in-law's relative, and she lived in a foreign land and didn't live there. So she may not have really known anything about Boaz before Ruth, before Naomi tells her. So then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives. Ruth, the Moabitess, said, he also said to me, you shall stay close to my young men until they have finished all my harvest. And in verse 22, and Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So now we see a very interesting development, because when Ruth says, when Naomi tells Ruth that Boaz is one of their close relatives, well, now Ruth is thinking in her mind, you know, she landed in the field of one of our close relatives, and he has treated her with extraordinary care and kindness and tenderness. And so I would say that the wheels are spinning in Ruth's head. I mean, in Naomi's head here. And we see Ruth is, from what we can see, she doesn't even question the wisdom of what Naomi tells her to do. She has such confidence in her that she just follows to do what Naomi tells her to do. And in all the account that we see here, we don't see Naomi giving bad advice at all to Ruth. What she tells Ruth is reasonable for Ruth to do. And she has that confidence in her mother-in-law, and she does what she asks her to do. So in verse 1 of chapter 3, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Now, what does she mean by seek security for her? Seek a husband for her? Right. You see the deliberate marriage idea that if somebody's husband had died, that a brother or a close relative would take that wife to perpetuate the name of that person who had died. So this kind of a close relative, the kinsman redeemer, is what position that Boaz will be in there. And so that's what Ruth is told by Naomi. Now, one of the things that is interesting here is that Naomi says, "Shall I not seek security for you?" Could she have been concerned to seek security for herself? She was a widow. Could not the levirate marriage apply to her, although she was old? I don't know the ins and outs of this, but I do know that some commentators will say that what Ruth really actually did is she cast aside her position to be in line to be in the marriage and put forward Ruth, because her concern was for Ruth, that Ruth might be provided for. Now, Boaz, as we learn here, is an older man. It doesn't tell us how much older, but he's an older man. And when we get to that exchange, when he talks about he's expressing I don't know exactly how to put that. But he's expressing her admiration of her character when he talks about the not pursuing after men, young or old, or rich or poor, young men, rich or poor. So I take it, I don't know if I got this exactly right, but I take it that I would be more in the age range of Naomi than of Ruth, and that he would be fit in that category. So he's an older man, and that part becomes clear to us. So now verse 2, here's the instruction that is given to Ruth. "Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not a relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." So the threshing floor. So, you know, they were harvesting the barley and the wheat, and they're threshing and all that. And so out in the field where all this harvesting was going on, they had what they called the threshing floor. And the people would sleep right there at the night. And then that's what Boaz was doing. It's what the things that I read indicated that what they normally would do, they'd work all day, they'd lie down and sleep. And they would just sleep right in the clothing they had been wearing. And that's the way they did it. So then it says here, in verse number 4, "Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do." And she said to her, "All you say to me, I will do." So this is a situation here that is unlike anything I think that we have in our common day about how this thing is being done. Actually, what Ruth is to do, at Naomi's direction, is to go and propose to Boaz, to just put it in plain terms. She says to Ruth, "Go and propose to Boaz." propose that he marry you. And that's what she does. And this is the way that it was done. So the customs of the day, from what I gather, would not have any disfavor toward this particular arrangement because of the context of the culture of the day. So there was nothing improper or impure about what was being done here. And that was the method that was used. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. In verse 7, after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And in verse 9, and he said, "Who are you?" So she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." So this is where she is saying to him, "Will you marry me?" So she said, "No, will you take me under your maidservant under your wing?" So then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord." So he is even now more impressed with this woman than he had been before. And we can see from the early beginning that he was impressed with her. And it only gets more and more as it goes along here. He says, "For you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." We talked about how a young woman in Ruth's situation would be kind of a vulnerable young woman. She needed a protector, but she was a foreigner in a foreign land. And she could have been seeking out for herself somebody just to say, "I'm just going to go and see if I can find a young man." Or as some people might think to do, to say, "Well, see if she can find herself a rich young man who could take good care of her, but some man to take care of her." But what we see here is that what we see Ruth doing is that she has put the interest of caring for her mother-in-law on a high level. So that was what got her out into the gleaning to start with, because she wanted to go out and provide. So we don't see her putting her own personal interest as a top priority for herself. She is here now saying this to Boaz because this is what Naomi has advised her to do. And, of course, I wouldn't say that there would be an objection to her for that. But the highest priority for her was not that I'm going to go and find myself a husband. If that had been her interest, I think she would have gone with her other sister, with her sister-in-law back to her own land, where she would have had a better prospect to accomplish that goal. But Ruth was not like her sister-in-law. Because Ruth had a spiritual transformation, which evidently the sister-in-law did not. And so she operates completely from a different standard, a different way, has a different way of thinking than what her sister-in-law had. So then he says here, in verse number 11, Boaz says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request. For all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." That is a powerful word. You talk about the character of Boaz. Obviously now he has committed himself. He took an interest in this young woman. He found out about her. He listened to what the people had to say who had been around her. And now he has this interaction with her. And she just impresses him more and more in everything she does. And he impresses her more and more with everything he does. Somebody said a marriage made in heaven. But it's a wonderful story about what is going on here. So he describes her as a virtuous woman. or one translation might use the word a worthy woman, a noble woman. And he refers to Proverbs 31 in his description of what kind of woman she is. So Boaz is saying to Ruth, you know what? I've heard about you. And I'm willing to tell you that I know what kind of woman you are. But not only that, he says that, you know, he's saying, well, everybody knows what kind of woman you are. So by this point, Ruth had a reputation. People knew about her. They knew what kind of woman she was. And he describes her as a virtuous woman, the kind that is above rubies, that she is the kind of woman that is described in Proverbs chapter 31, where it says here, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above her rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. A virtuous woman. So Boaz says to her, this is the kind of woman you are. I know that. He said he will perform the role of the kinsman redeemer for her. He's willing to do it, is what he's saying. He's willing to do it. He will see that she's cared for. And so he says in verse 12, now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. That also says something interesting. Because Boaz respected the law, shall we say the rule of law, in terms of the way the Jewish law worked and the way things were to be done. So no matter how much love or affection he had for this woman, he said the proper thing to do is to follow the law of the kinsman redeemer, the way that God set it up for them. And that would be for that closer relative to perform that role, or at least to have the first opportunity to do it. And so that's what he said there. There's a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty as a close relative for you, good. And then he says, let him do it. So he has her best interests at heart. I think we can say he loves this woman. But he's saying, you know, I think we can glean from this that Boaz has a higher principle of operation than his love for this woman. Can you understand that? We could glean that idea. Because he says, no matter how much he loves her, he's willing to step aside so that things would be done in a proper order before God and not try to usurp that other man's position. That speaks to his character. And so he said to her, if he will redeem this other man, let him. That is phenomenal. Especially when you think of how selfish people are. I think I want to leave off that kind of a note. Boaz is showing himself to be a man of extremely high character. And we know that people have what we sometimes call low points and all that. And this is a marvelous thing here, what we see. Of course, you know, we can think of a contrast with, you know, David and Bathsheba and how that was completely opposite of what should have been. In both cases, they saw a young woman, they gained some interest in her, and they learned about that woman before having any involvement with her. But in David's case, he was so low at that point, he was attracted to the beauty of the woman. And he inquired about her. Yet what was he told? He was told that this woman is another man's wife. So then what does he do? He sends for her to come to him. And he has relations with her. And then when she's with his child, he has the husband killed, murdered. David is the lowest point. Boaz, on the other hand, sees a young woman. He inquires about her. He develops an interest in her. He begins to do things to protect her, to provide for her. His love for her develops and grows. And he comes to the place where he says, you know, God's law says that the kinsman redeemer law works, that the nearest of kin should take the bride of the man who died. And Boaz says, I will stand back and let that man have his opportunity. And only after that man gave up his opportunity did Boaz take the next step and had Ruth to become his wife, and she bore him a child. And that child is in the line of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing, just the thought of that. Such, I can't think of a more dramatic contrast between the choices that are made. So, the thing that is interesting here, some people talk about, you know, what was happening here. One of the things that we don't see here is a description of the physical characteristics of Ruth. We don't see that expressed here. I think we would all probably surmise that she probably was a beautiful woman. Now, with her shawl that she would have been wearing, gleaning, Boaz may not have been able to fully appreciate her beauty, but I think clearly when he had face-to-face contact with her and could see her face, he could see if she was beautiful, and I think I would say she was, and he saw it. But if he did see it and was moved by it, that didn't rule him. He was ruled by a higher principle. What is the character of this woman? What is the quality of her? What is she really? Not outwardly, but in relation to the true God of Israel. And he had all that information. He checked her out. And he found to be a virtuous woman. And he said, everybody knows. All the people. They all know. And they just had a glorious time when they came to their marriage and all that. But we'll come back to that. Our time has expired, and we'll come back. But I think this is a wonderful thing to look at this and to think that this bright light of what was happening here was shining in the time of the judges, in the midst of all of that other stuff that we went through when we looked at the book of Judges. So this is a wonderful, wonderful thing here. But I better stop and close with a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again that you have put in the scriptures such a marvelous account for us to consider. A man who was a man of noble character. A woman who was a woman of noble character. And you brought them together and made of them what no one could have surmised from the early days, especially when Ruth was yet a widow down in Moab. So, Lord, we ask you to help us to learn from these things and cause it to not be in vain that we have gathered and spent a little time looking at the word of the Lord. We ask in the name of Christ the Savior with thanksgiving. Amen. So thank you very much. I appreciate you.